This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's radio. And we're going to give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, Code Red, as we get set to talk sports and other things on this, Thursday, December 2nd? Game day for Draven.
Game day.
He's smiling through the pain, pretending like he's excited.
I'm not smiling through any pain. I'm ready. I'm pumped.
We've heard you the last couple
weeks.
The audience has heard you.
Today is the day.
How are we doing today?
Today is the day.
Thumbs up from Code Red. Cam, how are you?
So far, so good. We'll see if that continues.
Let's hear it. Today's the day for what?
Today is the day. Everybody can go ahead right now. First of all, it's a great day to have a great day, huh? Beautiful weather. Come on. How about that weather? Coming in here with a jacket. Take some clothes off, man. Let it loose out here.
This isn't a jacket. This is a long-sleeve shirt.
This right here.
It's a long sleeve shirt.
It's not a long sleeve shirt. It has buttons.
Well, yeah. Shirts have buttons.
Would you consider that a long sleeve shirt, Cam?
I wouldn't consider the jacket.
It's like it's between a jacket and a long sleeve shirt. I would consider it more jacket than shirt. When you have buttons
it's just a thick
and it
shirt.
Wraps around you like that, I'd consider it more of a jacket.
What do you mean it wraps around you like this? What if it was short sleeve? I have a short sleeve shirt just like this buttoned up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slightly thicker, but like I'm just wearing it like as a kind of a long sleeve, like because I don't want to just be out in a t-shirt, but I didn't want to wear a jacket.
Well, you're kind of wearing it like a jacket though, not having a button.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, I guess.
Like a light jacket. Either way. Beautiful weather.
Let's get back on track.
It's great
actually a little
day.
Too warm for the long sleeve shirt.
Great
to be
day
honest.
To have a great day.
Davey's out here in shorts.
I'm out here in shorts.
You know,
short sleeves. Feels good outside.
I mean, it does. It's just something wrong.
I want everybody, including
we don't get a fall.
Listen,
we just complaining 3 weeks ago. We don't get a fall.
I have something to say here. Can I say it?
Here we are in shorts and t-shirts in December.
Go straight to winter here in Tennessee.
Go ahead.
Today's the day, my friends. I want you guys to all, tonight, as you're going to bed, write down in your little diary. Cam, open up that little Cam diary as you do every day. Write down all your thoughts. Go ahead and write down something else for me real quick. And everybody else out there, do it too. Today is the day. Today is the day that my Dallas Cowboys are going to blow out the New Orleans Saints. They're going to get back on track, healthy. Everybody getting back, ready to go. We're going to make a run here with a decently weak schedule down the stretch, and we're going to be red hot going into the playoffs, and everybody's going to kind of change their perspective on this Cowboys team. Today is the day.
By everybody, do you mean yourself? Because we heard you on Monday and last Monday where Dak's a fraud. Same old Cowboys.
I didn't say Dak is a fraud.
Yeah.
I said that, yes, he folds. I'm starting to believe the narrative that he kind of folds in big games. I did say that.
Dak's a fraud.
I did say that.
Dak's a fraud. Going to be the same old Cowboys. Gonna win some games and lose first game in the playoffs. Like, we haven't forgotten you saying that.
I was a little emotional.
I think you're a little emotional today. You got
No.
You got the game day high. You are a Tennessee fan that has talked themselves into beating Florida on the Friday before the game or the Saturday of the game. You are a Tennessee fan that's talked themselves into upsetting Georgia, playing with Alabama. You're just this.
That's not true. No, that's not the same. I'm not saying we're gonna win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying we're going to get red hot. We're going to go into the postseason. I'm going to feel a lot better. I think it was a little bit of an overreaction losing that game to the Chiefs. I think so.
What about the one to the Raiders?
Refs.
Okay.
It was the refs. Blame it on the refs. I will say, critique Dak Prescott if you want. He was pretty awesome in that Raiders game. Right. Struggled in the first half. Second
pretty,
half.
Pretty good for a quarter and a half. Until he then threw the game away on third down. But either way, we don't have to go through that game. That was old news.
Catch football. But today, write it in your diary, John. Go ahead. Go ahead and do it tonight. As you're going to bed, go ahead and write it down. Today's the day. We're going to get back on track. We're going to get red hot. We're going to beat the Cardinals week 17, including. And we're going to be maybe the 2 seed in the NFC, if not the 1 seed.
Well, again, I got a pretty good feeling you're not going to be the 1 seed. But
see what the Cardinals do down the stretch.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm glad to see that you are you're back.
My Cowboys are about to be back, my friend. My Cowboys are about to be back. Come on! We're not losing this game.
Hopefully,
we're not losing this game tonight. It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a blowout.
Hopefully you can beat a Saints team that, I mean, I guess it's a kitchen sink game for them, right? They got to throw everything at it. They got Taysom at quarterback. Another game with no Kamara, although Kamara I don't feel like was as effective with Taysom when they played last year. Like, Taysom never did the dump downs.
Yeah.
To him. Like, it's kind of, we'll see how Ingram and Taysom run tonight. Is Ingram back? Ingram's playing, right?
Ingram should be playing.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So I have two offensive linemen out, though.
Sure.
No Marcus Davenport, one of their best pass rushers.
The Saints are ripe for the picking. That is 100% true. I would be worried if we didn't win by at least a touchdown in this game. By we, I mean we as in you.
I guarantee a double-digit victory.
Okay. I'd be worried if not.
Guaranteed.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. This is it. This is it. Right here. Right here. You're going to look back and think, man, here in about a month, maybe a little over a month, you're going to look back and be like, wow, Draven was right. Huh. These Cowboys are the hottest team in the NFC right now. Maybe in the NFL. That's what people are going to be saying. By the end of the season.
Okay.
Heard it here first.
I'll take your word for it, and hopefully you can update me on it tomorrow because I'm not watching tonight.
What, you got better stuff to do?
I'm just not watching the NFL this week, I told you.
Not even during the week? I thought that was just like a weekend thing.
No, you said you might. You said you. I said I would finish Monday Night Football, though I didn't really watch much of Monday Night Football either. Who even played on Monday Night Football? Seahawks and Washington. I did watch the end of that game. You know, you said that you might join me after the Thursday game since your team put on Thursday. I'm not watching tonight either.
How's that been, being clocked out from football for a little bit?
I mean, I still see the headlines. You know, I still get the update that Adrian Peterson signed by the Seahawks, which I don't understand what either side is doing there. If you're Adrian Peterson, what are you doing? Like, it's a 3-8 team. If you're Seattle, what are you doing? You're a 3-8 team.
Yep.
Unless this is just like next level tanking. I don't know. But
I feel like you could find any like random running back on the street that's young and be like, hey, maybe give this kid a shot, see if he's got anything.
Well, I mean, the Titans just did it with Damian Hillard. Like, you know, they brought in another practice squad guy, and he's actually showed a little pop. Like, he's played pretty well the last week and a half.
I mean, the Browns, D'Ernest Johnson, had a breakout performance on Thursday night.
Seems like you can maybe find some young legs that might be able to make the roster next year.
But no, let's go get the 36-year-old running back because he's
seems
cool, I guess. Do people still respect Adrian Peterson like they do?
I think the Titans locker room got excited when they signed him. Like, I do think.
And then he played, and they were just like, okay, well.
Right. Well, no, they scored a touchdown the first game. Like, okay, this has got to figure some things out. And then like, okay, yeah, this guy stinks. And it was, kept getting stopped on fourth downs, cost us the Texans game. But people in the locker room still like him because players usually don't typically acknowledge when, like, legends are falling off a map. They still want to pretend like they are elite and still are who they are, still can bring something. Maybe Seattle's just like, hey, come. Watch Adrian Peterson play. I don't know what the hell the point of that was, but I did see that news yesterday. So, I'm not fully checked out, but and you're going to have to handle the interview today with Jordan DeJani.
Okay.
It's up to you. You and Cam.
All right.
Okay.
I'm checked out.
I'll hold it down for you.
All I can think about tonight are the Bulls and Knicks. Mm. Throwback to the 90s, baby. Bulls and Knicks, 7:30, NBA TV. Spurs heading to the Trailblazers at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it's the juices flowing.
Trailblazers are trying to get back over 500. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls and Knicks, good.
Spurs are...
Lillard's out, though.
6-11. 6-11, I believe. Yeah. But the Spurs are 6-13, yeah.
13, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what you're going to watch, huh?
You know, or just watch, you know, I've been running through King of Queens. Started season 5, you know, I got a, got 4 or 5 more
seasons of that show they make.
Either 9 or 10.
I just couldn't do King of Queens. I couldn't do
You're
it.
Not very sophisticated. I don't.
What are you talking about?
Doesn't surprise
Queens
me.
King of Queens is like not even close to that.
You don't know. You couldn't really do it. I think the comedy's a little too highbrow for you. It's a little bit higher than The Office, I guess. Either way, got some more coaching news coming out. Cam.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Horn anymore, but poor Steve Adazio. Fired.
Mm. Mm.
Fired at Colorado State.
Sad day.
A once promising coach at Boston College who just reeled off 3 straight 7-win seasons. Then went 6-6 in his last year. Was pretty much the same exact coach. Then got hired by Colorado State and went 1-3 in the COVID year.
Yep.
And 3-9 this year, and they've already fired him.
Oof.
Sad.
Two years, though?
A year and a half, really.
I mean...
A COVID year.
Anything else that goes into this firing?
I don't know. They played four games last year, and then yeah, went 3-9 this year. So
we have high expectations over here at Colorado State. I guess. I mean, come on.
I guess so.
Standards.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks! Help us get in the Christmas spirit this week by bringing a few toys out to National RX in Farragut for our Toys for Tots Toy Drive. We'll be broadcasting live at National RX, Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy on Kingston Pike in Farragut from 3 to 6 this Friday afternoon. Toys for Tots is a program run by the United States Marine Corps Reserve, which distributes toys to children whose parents cannot afford to buy them gifts for Christmas. Help us make Christmas special for area children in need. Toy bins will be there all day on Friday and Saturday as well if you can't make it during the workday. National RX, Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy, locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated, 11134 Kingston Pike in Farragut.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, 16 deliciously refreshing flavors, only 100 calories. Drink some White Claw this holiday season, made with their gluten-free alcohol base and just a hint of fruit flavors. All right, we got some news. Told you Steve Adazio out.
Mm-hmm. Adrian Martinez in the transfer portal.
Adrian Martinez in the transfer portal. How do we feel about that?
It's amazing he still has eligibility, but that's shout out to saying. The COVID year, I guess.
I feel like Adrian Martinez is probably going to go somewhere and everyone's going to be like, oh, well, this guy's pretty good.
I can see it.
I think he's going to go somewhere with actual talent around him and probably be pretty good. Like
it's crazy how that narrative has shifted, though, for him.
Sure. Because
it was like, oh, mm-hmm. He's terrible. Why does Nebraska keep throwing him out there? And then it was like, well, he's actually the only thing holding Nebraska together,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, like all the advanced metrics that they do for college football like shows like he's actually like – carrying that team and pretty much the only bright spot they have. I don't know if he will have a good enough opportunity to go somewhere with actual like real talents, like a top 15 program or whatever, but you would think he'd get to go somewhere.
Was he a 5-star?
He was a high 4-star, I believe. He was in the like 100 range. Tennessee mm-hmm. was in on him.
Yep.
Right.
And again, I believe he was like right there, like at 100, maybe 150. I don't know. It's been a while.
Hooker leaves.
I don't think
Martinez back over here to Knoxville, huh?
It has been a little weird to watch like every quarterback enter the transfer portal and Tennessee fans can't help themselves. They're like, huh? Yeah? Huh? Maybe? Yeah. Meanwhile, you got Hooker still at school and you're like, oh, well, yeah, we still got Hooker. But yeah, maybe. Bo Nix, huh?
Hey, there you go.
Dylan Gabriel, get back with the hype, man, even though he bashed hype on the way out, huh? Maybe? Now Draven's doing with Adrian Martinez. I don't think it'll be Adrian Martinez transferring to school to play here at Tennessee.
Wouldn't think so.
Still waiting. Again, I would imagine Hendon Hooker is back at school at Tennessee next year. I would think. It would make the most sense. Assuming he can get some NIL money. Although we've talked about it. This quarterback class, not the best. If he has dreams of being drafted, this might be his best opportunity. Or he could come back next year and put up big numbers and have a full season of like proving that he can improve. Although like this offense isn't going to show scouts that like he can read defenses, right? Like it isn't going to like really show him that he's taken progressions to be an NFL quarterback. It seems the numbers might be better, but like it's going to be the same offense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty like much.
You're going to hit your first read, pretty much. Or I mean, you're going to look at one side of the field.
First read and then take off.
Sure.
I would be – my thing is kind of his pocket presence isn't great. I think that would be a reason NFL teams would definitely kind of shy away from him a little bit. But he's probably going to test the waters, right? Like, he's probably going to still go through a little bit of the process. Like, we see some players kind of do some of the – camps and stuff, right?
I don't know.
I know that happens in NBA for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like more of a college basketball thing than NFL, but maybe
I'm
just...
Maybe a couple workouts and kind of see where you're at. I don't know.
Maybe the last two COVID drafts have kind of just like ruined my thought process when it comes to drafts because like I've kind of forgotten the process. Like I know they'll do a pro day here, but like like you can do that, but like I don't know. I don't know if you can like really like just hang around and not declare. Again, COVID's just kind of warped my mindset when it comes to these guys and the draft. But, yeah, it's funny. Like, Tennessee fans can't really help themselves. Every quarterback hits the portal. Maybe.
Could be. Yeah, maybe use an arm.
I mean, is it belief in Hendon Hooker or is it belief in Josh Heupel's offense? Or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both because, I think Hooker's, you know, been pretty efficient in this offense, but also it is Heupel's offense, and it kind of predicates and breeds quarterback success. I mean, it's kind of designed for that, so feel like it amplifies him a little bit, but at the same time.
He's got to be amplified a little bit because look at what Joe Milton was doing at the beginning of the season.
I mean,
Joe Milton came in looking like a stud, massive, and could sling the football, all that, and everybody, we all were so excited about it. And then Hooker came in, and he was 10 times better. Now, maybe Milton was just that bad.
Yep.
I mean, you got to give Hooker credit for that, for being able to replace somebody.
He's definitely the better quarterback. Like you said, like if you can't just necessarily plug any quarterback into this and it work, but you have to have a certain level of talent, which Hooker does. But if you have that base level talent and you can flow in this offense, I think Heupel's offense, like you know, enhances kind of what you can do.
Joe Milton could be an outlier.
Maybe.
And maybe like you look at Dillon Gabriel and like I mean like he. I don't want to call him a system cornerback, but like he definitely looked better with Josh Heupel's system than he did with whatever the hell they were doing down there this year with the Gus Bus. Whenever he was playing, I mean, I don't think he got hurt pretty early in the season, right? But So, do you love Hendon, or do you just love the idea of like any quarterback maximizing, and maybe you need a guy with a little bit more top end talent? I don't know.
Hooker's been good though. He's been good.
He has been good, but again, every quarterback that hits the portal, you look at it and you're like, Spencer Rattler. What do we think about here? Caleb Williams. What are we thinking? Again, we did it even with Bo Bleepin' Nix. Who I've seen enough out of Bo Bleepin' Nix that I don't trust him more than Hendon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not at all.
I don't think that necessarily makes us doubt in Hooker just because we're looking at these other quarterbacks. It's kind of like you're a married man, John. You're a married man.
If you're happily married, you don't look around.
I'm just saying. Sometimes admit.
Careful with his analogy.
I wonder a little bit. And you just take a look at that girl walking by. You're not doing anything about it. You're just kind of thinking in your head like, wonder what she'd be like. That's all we're doing.
You might can admire beauty. You might can think, oh, wow. She's pretty attractive. You can't sit there and think about, wonder what my life would be like with her.
Yeah.
I wonder what we do on weekends.
Well, Some guys might go through that thought process, huh. Maybe.
Well, yeah, that's because they're not happy at home. If you're happy at home, you don't sit there.
That's not always true. Sometimes
again,
you just...
Again, you can, I think, you know, not married, but I think you can appreciate attractiveness, but also not be coveting and thinking, huh, wonder what she could do in this offense.
Yeah.
Wonder what her spread game looks like.
I'm happy with Hooker. Give me another year, Hooker. Why not?
Well, why not?
I don't think.
Where do you think he actually ranks in terms of quarterbacks? I guess.
In the whole nation, yeah. I mean,
just
college football?
Yeah. I mean, just like coming back into next year. I mean, I know you can't project freshmen or whatever, but I mean, like, is he top five? Do you think he's top five quarterbacks? Do you think he's top 10 quarterbacks? Like,
he might be top 10. We've talked about how bad these quarterbacks are, man. Not just even coming out of the class, but man, who's the who would be the Heisman favorite next year? Bryce Young again, I guess. I mean,
Do you think Kenan Hooker's top 10 quarterback or top 10 quarterback at Tennessee? Like, you think you can drop Hendon Hooker off in some of these other places
know.
And he would be good again? Because, like, we saw it at Virginia Tech, and maybe he just really improved it. Maybe this development was really here, or maybe this offense.
By the way, Virginia Tech's offense has been awful for well, that's 4 or 5 years. I mean,
well, sure, but I mean, I think there's probably a lot of quarterbacks out there in the country right now that could look and say, yeah, like, my offense isn't great either. I'd love to make wide open throws to receivers wide open down the field. So I'm asking, like, I do think Hendon Hooker at Tennessee will be a top 10 quarterback situation. Yeah. Like, I do think he'll be top 10 productive, but I don't know if I'm calling him a top 10 quarterback. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, do you risk that? And, I mean, I don't think Tennessee is going to go shopping.
What would change your mind for Hooker just winning a big game? Playing big in maybe, like, the fourth quarter, one of these big games? Because we talked about the fourth quarter drop-off and second-half drop-offs in some of these bigger games.
I don't even know. I mean... It's not fair to say against Georgia. I mean, he missed some couple throws. I mean, I didn't think he played well against Ole Miss for most of the game either. I mean, some of that was game plan, and I still haven't gotten over, like, the 2nd-and-17 run we had in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Hooker chewing some time up, scrambling around and, like, running out of bounds rather than throwing it out of bounds and saving 30 seconds. Like, some of that stuff I just felt like, you know, was bad, but at the same time, I don't think Tennessee's going shopping for a quarterback.
No.
I don't think they're going to look and say, hey, let's go get somebody different. Like, if Hooker stays, like, I think with good reason, both Josh Heupel for not having to start over and Tennessee fans should be excited.
Let's just build around him, man. He's good. You can admit, he's good enough in the SEC to win a decent amount of games, right? You agree with that? Let's just build around him. We need to improve this offensive line. Let's not forget Hooker was the most sacked quarterback in the SEC this year. Some of it was his own doing, him kind of running around trying to make plays. But
I also wonder, like, with those stats, like most sacked, and with Tennessee's, honestly, like, with creating pressures in the backfield, tackles for loss, like, how much of that is just, like, from, like, extra plays? Like, Tennessee throws the ball, runs so many offensive plays. Like,
that doesn't help necessarily.
Yeah, Tennessee's on the field for defense so much. So how many more opportunities do they have for tackles for loss because they're playing so many more minutes? Like, I do wonder, like, per play, what that average would be like. But I think Hooker showed you can win 7 games and beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that Hooker upset anybody. I wouldn't say we played well offensively in the games we lost either. Would you? Like, I mean, Matt, I didn't think we played very well offensively against Pittsburgh. Now, granted that I'm not blaming Hooker for
second
that.
Half. I mean, we scored how many points in that first half? Was it 20? 27?
Did we score 27 and were we tied? I want
to say it was 20. Were we not up 7 at halftime?
Wasn't it like 27-20?
I thought they scored 27 points at half.
Maybe they scored like, didn't they score like 21 in the second?
I thought they scored all their points in the second quarter. I thought it was 20. Yeah. I thought we were down at halftime. I'm 90% sure we were down at halftime.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. They scored 27 points
okay.
in the second quarter.
It was 27
we
to
were
in
down
the
27-20.
Yeah, so we scored one in the second quarter.
10.
27-10. I mean, the only play we had was Callaway, who we didn't see the rest of the year. Jimmy Callaway had the one catch on the slip screen or whatever, and then just like ran down the sideline, and then pretty much didn't see him the rest of the year.
Essentially.
But like, I still didn't think that offense played well. I mean, it had open looks. Don't get me wrong. The first quarter, you could have scored 4 touchdowns. You had wide open receivers running around.
And Hooker game, he Brought him some life, at least, to the offense.
A little bit. He had some passes, and then, you know, threw the terrible interception, got stopped on the fourth down that he didn't really get stopped on the fourth down on. Like, that was a bad call. I think we can all agree on that. But just in your five losses, scored 17 points against Georgia. I don't think anyone would say you played well offensively. 24 against Alabama. You hit some big plays, but, like, I guess you played okay. 26 against Ole Miss. Feel like you left some points on the board. 0 second half points against Florida. And then, sure, maybe you could say the 34 points against Pittsburgh. Like, if the defense doesn't completely fall apart in the second quarter, maybe that's a different story. But I still feel like that offense was, you know, leaving things to be desired for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I thought there was, you know, chances there to score another 50-point performance. Yep. Can Hooker win some games in the SEC? Yeah, 100%. Can he beat the teams he's not supposed to? I don't know. He didn't do it this year. We didn't have, you know, basically one real upset. I mean, you were underdogs at Missouri, but
yeah, that doesn't count.
You were a coin flip at Kentucky. You won those games.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pull off any real upsets. But again, like, I don't think he's going anywhere this year, and I think that's a good thing for Tennessee.
And you can't take a risk on some of these guys.
Sure.
Like, Spencer Rattler got benched.
Right. Mm. But again, like, you look like Kenan Hooker got benched 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking, like, do you think it's like, because, I mean, I think in college football, I mean, really in the NFL too, a lot of it is game plan, roster, coaching. Like, it's indicative and it's reliant on that. It's dependent on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tennessee, like, really for the foreseeable future, should feel like, hey, we can put you in a top 10 situation here.
Yeah.
With our offense. Like, yeah. We're going to give you good looks. We're going to give you good opportunities. I think Tennessee is going to be happy with Hendon Hooker next year if he decides to stay. I'm still not sold on that. I still have to wait to see it actually happen. I would lean towards it being basically a coin flip right now. Maybe more like 55-45 that he stays.
I'm surprised you're that close. I feel like a lot of people are pretty confident he's going to stay.
To me, when you're just 24, man, like, you got the news that Alante Taylor was going pro, and, like, to me, Hendon Hooker is every bit the NFL prospect as Alante Taylor is.
Yeah.
At least, like, right now. And I mean, it's easier to get on the field as a defensive back than a quarterback, obviously, because there's, you know, more spots.
Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of guys that weren't very – didn't seem like they'd be NFL guys who have made it.
Sure.
You know, from UT.
Right. And, like, Taylor has the measurables, and, like, he's a good enough athlete. So I do think he'll have some good game film. I mean, but, like, I can't say for certain that he'll be drafted.
Nah.
And if he is, like, sixth or seventh round is probably going to be the most likely. And, like, Hooker could do better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, it's all dependent. And, again, Alante Taylor is much younger than Hendon Hooker is. So you just never can tell. And, like, I know he didn't go through senior day festivities, but do you really care about senior day festivities?
Nope.
Is that something like, oh, I got to come to school because I got to run through the senior day festivities? Yeah. I forgot to get my applause at a school I was at for 1 year. I forgot to let them, like, really shower me with the praise I deserve. I mean, I know people looked into that as a good thing, and it would have been worse had he gone through them and then came back, although John Fulkerson did the same thing. So I'm just not sold on it yet. 55-45. Hope he comes back.
Yeah,
I believe the VolQuest guy said that it's 80% that both Hooker and said Tillman return to school.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
They'd probably be on some watch list in terms of, like, best duos whenever people are doing their offseason rankings. Like, Tillman could really, you know, thrive next year in this offense again. And, you know, he's going to, most likely get the 1,000 yards receiving this year. Assuming he plays in the bowl game, although
where's he at right now?
931. So, like, okay. I mean, I think he'll,
yeah,
get there if he plays.
I think so.
He's had three straight games. I mean, really, four of his last five games, he's been a monster. 152 yards against Alabama, 200 yards against Georgia, 100 against South Alabama, 106 against Vandy. His low game was 79 yards against Kentucky, and he's got a touchdown in all of them, two against Vandy. So, I mean, like, he's been a monster the last five games. Surprised he's only listed as a junior. Has he only been here 3 years? Is that real?
I feel like so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels like he's been here a minute.
Huh? Yeah. I guess ESPN probably doesn't take into fact, you know, count the red shirt or whatever. But his class of what, 2018? So what would that have made him? Means if you're class of 18, it means you play in 18, right? 18, yeah. 19, 20, 21. Okay, so yeah, he's been here 4 years. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So he still has a chance to come back one more year, but okay.
Any issue with Lonte sitting out of the bowl game?
No, I mean, it's up to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we haven't truly been affected by it here at Tennessee, I don't think.
Have we?
No.
Had anybody sit out of a bowl game?
Not
that we know of.
I mean, we haven't gone to a bowl game probably, you know, for, I guess, two of the years. So, like, it hasn't been as big of an issue. I mean, like, Derek Barnett, you thought, might sit out the bowl game in 2016, but he was chasing a sack record, so he played.
That was an awesome moment, too.
Uh-huh.
I'd have even bumped up his draft stock, too.
I don't think so.
Iowa game, he was going against
No, I'm not talking about the Iowa game. I'm talking about the Nebraska game.
Yeah.
In 2015, when he dominated Brandon Sheriff or whatever, Brandon Sheff or whatever, like, he dominated him, and that helped his draft stock.
For sure.
Strange enough, didn't hurt Brandon. I would have been like, hey, you can't play this guy, but... Yeah, that one really helps. But in 2016 against Nebraska, he got close a bunch of times. I don't know if that one, like, helped his draft stock. Maybe. I mean, I can't say I wasn't in the draft room, but, you know, I feel like he was mid-first round before and came out mid-first round, so maybe. But, you know, I have no problem with Alante doing it. It's not like you're playing for a championship. He had his emotional moment. Like, I don't think you can get mad about it whenever, like, just 3 days ago everyone was talking about how he was crying coming out, you know, coming through the tee for his last game at Neyland and how much it meant to him and how he's evolved. You can't be upset about that.
Yeah.
Especially, like, this year when you see Jalen Smith get cut from the Cowboys, play one game with the Packers and get cut, and you think back to him blowing his knee out in a meaningless game. It can ruin your future. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. How about Memphis last night? Oof.
Bad loss.
There you go, Penny.
Poor
there
Penny.
There you go.
Man.
What do you mean, poor Penny?
Poor Penny. Penny Pastner. It's bad. They're done with him in Memphis.
Well, they should be. All the talent coming in, man. This team sucks.
I do love the lack of awareness where you come out and basically say, this team looks like an AAU team. I don't know what they're doing out there, and you're the head coach that used to coach AAU.
Like, wonder who's going to fix it, Penny.
And recruited them to be like an AAU team. It essentially looks like the I think you should leave skit where the guy in the hot dog costume is screaming, I'm really trying to find out who did this. It's an internet meme if you get it. Because Penny Hardaway is who did this, obviously. He recruited an AAU team and put together big recruiting classes. I believe they have the number one recruiting class this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with Bates and Duren.
Yeah.
They look like an AAU team because they're coached by an AAU coach.
What do you know?
Two really terrible losses. I mean, Georgia, obviously, if you're an SEC basketball fan, you know Georgia's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Good for them, though. Good for them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Cam. Did Iowa State go 2-22 last year in their season?
Yeah, they weren't great last year. They have definitely fallen off from, you know, what they used to be. They used to be a decent basketball program, but yeah, not anymore.
I want to say they were something like 2-22 last year.
Jeez, yeah.
And you got destroyed by them.
2-22. How the hell did they go 2-22 last year?
Well, they played 24 games and they won two of them. I believe is how that works.
Feel good about that one?
Well, no, but I'm just like, what else do you mean? Like, I mean, they.
I just say they're. Cam said it. They're usually decent.
Well, they used to be. Yeah, they've had a falling off the past few years.
Coach leave or something? I mean, they used to be like a tournament team every
year. Yeah, no, they used,
well, they used to be like a top three seed. Usually, yeah. I think they just hired someone new this year. Obviously, like, I think
TJ Olzeberger.
I mean, he looks like a stud. He's got them. I mean, where are they this year? Are they 7-0? I was just checking. I mean, I feel like they're off to a pretty good start this year, and obviously doing pretty well.
They are 6-0.
6-0? Okay. Where'd this guy come from? No, go ahead and just give him the coach of the year already.
Feels like they're already winning just six games.
I mean, I feel like he's a stud. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and just give it to him. He beat Penny's ass.
With the non-conference schedule, as easy as it is, two games? It still just kind of blows my mind.
I guess with COVID, maybe he didn't get a lot of easy non-conference games. Because they went 0-18 in the Big 12. So, like, I guess they only had, what, six games? 2-22 would be 24. Yeah. So they only had six non-conference games. So maybe he didn't get a real tune-up.
This guy is from UNLV. I didn't even.
How the hell did he get this job? He went 12-15 last year.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. UNLV was not, it's not been good either.
Okay, he went 17-15. He was at UNLV for 2 years. Went 17-15 and 12-15, and then got the Iowa State job. But is he like an alum there? Did he play there?
Lord of mercy.
Let's see.
Did win the conference championship 2 times at South Dakota State. So his South Dakota State resume was pretty good.
He was an assistant. 2006 to 2010, 2010 to 2013, he was the associate head coach, and then he was an assistant again.
At Iowa State?
Yeah, in 2015.
Okay, so I guess they're trying to bring back, would that have been the Hoiberg era?
He was the head coach at South Dakota State. I mean, they've been decent, right?
Yeah, he won the won their conference championship, you know, basically 2 years there, and then last year was 24-9. So, I mean, I guess he was pretty good that last stop. Maybe he built up UNLV. Maybe like in that first year going 17-15 was really good. I don't know. All I know is that Penny got his ass beat by him in like his third game ever at Iowa State. Like they got beat by 20. And that's a team that won 2 games last year. Jeez. And then last night again, we know how bad Georgia is. They lose to Georgia.
Yep.
Which is really, really embarrassing. And like we're in what, year 4 of Penny Hardaway, they won the NIT last year. You're supposed to come out of that. Well, I mean, they won the postseason NIT, and they kept most of that team together and then added, like, 2 guys that are supposed to be superstars. Like, this should be a loaded team. They were preseason top 10, right?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be really good. And then, again, they lose to back-to-back games. They get beat by 19 to Iowa State, and then lose to Georgia, who, you know, has been really, 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 really bad. I was watching a little bit of that game at halftime. Like, Georgia was up 7 or 8, and then Memphis went on, like, a big run to get the lead at halftime, and poor Tom Crean is walking off the court, trying to, like, pump up the trying to pump up the crowd. He's, like, yelling at the crowd to cheer for him. Strong Jeb Bush, please clap vibes. Like, he's like, please, guys, give us something. But, I mean, like, again, you won the NIT. You kept a lot of that roster together. Yep. You brought in 3, you know, you brought in 2 5-stars, the number 5, the number 6 player in the country, and Imani Bates and Jalen Duren. You added 2 other 4-stars that were top 100 players.
Yep.
And you look lost. Now, I'm not saying they can't get it together because, you know, we've seen this before with guys like Coach Calipari who have taken teams with big recruits, struggled out the gate, turned around and got them hot. But we've seen it with Coach Cal. We ain't seen it yet with Penny Hardaway.
He hasn't proved it. He's like not that, Coach Cal.
Him getting hot was winning the NIT in a COVID year. Like he doesn't get the same benefit of the doubt as a Coach K or a Coach Cal. Like,
absolutely not.
He hasn't proven anything. Tennessee plays them, of course, in what, 2 weeks and 2 days? Basically,
they got a couple tough games. They play at Ole Miss this weekend,
and then then home for Alabama. Is that right?
They play they get Murray State in between there too, and then they'll be playing Alabama then us.
Gotcha.
So we should kill them, right? We should dominate this team.
You should beat them. You should beat them. I mean, I'm not gonna say you should kill them just because like. Maybe they get it together. I don't, you know, I'll give them the chance to start turning the corner the next 3 games. And if they beat Alabama or something, I'm not going to come there and say, well, Rick Barnes should kill this team. Like, there's time in between. If we played them on Saturday, I'd feel like we should beat them in Nashville. Got my 2 tickets ready to go. I'll be in attendance.
Nice. I thought about it.
But, like, you know, they got a little bit of time to start playing a little bit better. Yeah. But they look like they're free falling right now. And, like, when you have a young, talented team that feels like AAU ball, and like who knows how long or how committed Jalen Duren and Imani Bates are, because wasn't the rumor there that, you know, some people thought that like those guys were there for 1 year and then going to like the G League, doing like the G League to the NBA?
Yep.
Why would you not call like, it straight to the NBA? Just the development?
Wasn't there something where like one of, like, aren't they early enrollees?
Oh, they may be.
Did one of those, like, do they skip school? Or am I making that up?
Imani might have.
I thought one like I thought both of them might have reclassified and like and done this instead. But I might
be wrong
on that.
But
I thought that like they weren't going to be eligible didn't know if they were going to be old enough. Like, I thought, aren't they both like pretty young?
Yeah, Imani Bates reclassified. I don't know about
Duren.
Duren, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen him. Has he been at the top of any mock drafts though, Cam?
I haven't seen with recently. Duren,
I didn't think he had kind of been up there, which made me think that he was ineligible. I guess he's eligible for 2022. So okay, so I guess like Bates might leave, but Duren is in some mock drafts for 2022. So okay. But
yeah, Duren's on that.
When you have teams like that and players like that, like, do you trust them not to fall apart when the going gets tough? Like, do we think they're going to like dig in and like try to play for this team and play for Penny, or do you think they're looking around like, ah, who really cares?
I'm gonna say that's on the coach. Like, the coach has to be able to rally those guys to keep them together and stuff like this.
Maybe tell them maybe calling them out and saying they're an AAU team in public and asking what's wrong with them will motivate them, or maybe it'll be like, hey,
we're gonna make
throw
them under the bus a little bit.
You can go to hell. We don't need this. I'm Jalen Duren. I'm going to hurt my ankle, and I'm going to be getting ready for the NBA.
How bad would that be? With the Wiseman, who sat out, too. I know there was other stuff going to happen there, but, like, he sat out the season.
Seemed like Wiseman wanted to play, but, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, a little different, but still, if you had potentially all those stars and have two or three of them sit out, I mean.
Maybe if I'm Duren, I look at Wiseman, but I don't want to go that route. It hasn't really worked out for him so far in the NBA.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that. But Memphis.
You would think with that talent, they at least kind of get it together.
It's not like they're losing
to Georgia. They beat Georgia.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And a two-win Iowa State team. It's not like they are getting smashed by Tennessee or Alabama, who are, you know, good teams and good programs. It's not like they're losing to them. They're losing to Georgia and Iowa State, and not the Iowa State that you might be thinking. This Iowa State team is terrible, or at least supposed to be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Maybe they just maybe it takes some time, and we'll look back in this. Maybe we'll feel dumb if they beat Tennessee in a couple weeks. Maybe they'll get it together.
I do feel like that's a game they'll at least get up for. You know, like I think that they'll take that game a little personal.
Well, I would hope so.
So I think you'll get their best shot in that game, but. What is their best shot is the question.
So far, I'm a little surprised. I'm shocked that Larry Brown, who has seemed out of touch for the last 20 years, is now at Memphis coaching 4 and 5 stars and unable to get them to buy in. Larry Brown, of course, hired by Penny Hardaway this offseason.
Yeah, he's an assistant, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be like their lead assistant.
I didn't know his full title there.
I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be their lead assistant, but I mean, Larry Brown's been a curmudgeon since what, 2002, 2003 with Allen Iverson? Yeah. And here we are 20 years later, and now he's supposed to coach these like entitled AAU kids, I'm sure is what he's screaming around. Not really surprised that it isn't going well so far. Georgia. I watched Georgia dribble the ball up the court 3 straight times, just have it stolen from like their point guard. Like 3 straight times, like in the first half, just couldn't make the ball, like couldn't dribble. Couldn't dribble up and get the offense started. They just ripped him 3 straight times. And somehow they won that game.
Still won. Speaking of the student section, saw the video right then. Student section was pretty fired up.
For Georgia?
They had a couple blocks in a row, and they were actually fired up.
Yeah, so they got into it. I was a little surprised. They've never really been a strong basketball fan base.
Actually, maybe not good for them. They're good enough in football. Maybe it's not good, but good for Tom Crean. How about that?
I mean, they tried. When they hired Tom Crean, that was a effort hire, right? Like, we looked at that as a name, at least you, like, cared about. They hired him to try to, like, keep it. They had a couple of 5 stars in Georgia. They got Anthony Edwards, and then wasn't there the Walker Kessler guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where did he end up at school a bit, by the way? Didn't he transfer out of North Carolina? Where did he end up?
I don't know where he ended up.
I watched him play the other night.
I know he didn't come to Tennessee. Did he stay at North Carolina? Where is he at? Auburn?
Auburn.
Huh.
That's right.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, I knew, like, they hired, you know, Crean to try to keep those guys around, and then, you know, they haven't won anything yet, but it seems like they at least tried. Maybe they'll end up being like Alabama, who, like, hey, we got all this football success, and it's nice, and look at all this newfound money we have just laying around. Let's try to get good at basketball. Of course, it's worked for Alabama so far. They're pretty good. They're top 10 in the country again, right?
It's also a home run on the head coach.
Sure.
Compared to Crean, who.
Sure. They went more with like the up-and-comer instead of the guy that's like a retread.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it wasn't like they didn't try before that. They tried to hire Avery Johnson. I mean, they went and threw big money at Avery Johnson to get him. We thought Avery Johnson was going to be pretty good. At least I did.
They made the tournament.
Right, but I thought they were going to be like actually. I thought he was going to have the type of success that like Nate Oates is having so far.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, he went to the NBA Finals. He's an NBA point guard, you would think. And he did recruit a little bit, right? I mean, he got Colin Sexton. I mean, they did try to recruit. And it wasn't the problem with Avery Johnson. He had a roster full of four stars. I remember every time he played them, like you'd look at their top 100 players, they'd have like five or six of them. They just couldn't play together.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what's going
on with
Kenny.
Didn't he kind of say something stupid, too, that kind of like, we're like, okay, does this guy know what he's doing?
I don't know. I don't remember what it would be if he did, but it wouldn't surprise me if Avery Johnson said something stupid in a stupid high-pitched voice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
But so far, the Avery Johnson experience is going much like the Penny Hardaway experience, or I guess I should say it the other way around. The Penny Hardaway experience is going much like the Avery Johnson experience, too, where they're getting talent, but they're just not getting any wins. At least Avery did get to the tournament. You are right. They did take Colin Sexton being like a full-on five-star in the SEC tournament that year, right?
Like,
game winner. Two straight buzzer beaters. Yeah. Oh, Penny Pastor.
Will they fire him after this year? He's not had a losing. Like, his records have not been bad, but it's just like,
well, he's going to make the tournament for one.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, the NIT doesn't do anything for you. Like, Memphis basketball is not Memphis football. Memphis basketball is supposed to be one of the, I don't want to call them a blue blood. They're not blue blood by any means, but Memphis basketball is supposed to be a top 15 program.
Yeah.
And they pay like a top 15 program. They have an NBA, they play in an NBA arena, and they play in the Forum. They have probably one of the seven or eight nicest arenas in college basketball.
Yep.
They have a Final Four that was vacated, but they had a Final Four. So, like, I don't know. It goes back to kind of like the Scott Frost thing, except with Scott Frost, I even give him more of a pass because, like, hey, how the hell am I supposed to recruit in Nebraska? I kind of give him a little bit more of a benefit of it out there. With Penny and Memphis, I don't, because it's not like you're playing in a Big Ten with a talent discrepancy. Playing in what, the AAC? With the number one recruiting class, like it's not the same thing. Like with Penny, like, but it is awkward in the sense of like you get the guy that you deem as a grand slam. You have your legend come back, and then it doesn't work out. Now, granted, maybe like it's a little bit different since again you hired Penny from the high school ranks, and maybe for Memphis, you look around and just say, yeah, maybe it was more just like John Calipari is really, really good.
That could be it.
Because, like, Josh Pastner was kind of the same thing, right? I mean, Josh Pastner wasn't like he really had Memphis doing anything, right? I mean,
nothing spectacular,
did they even, like, win any tournament games with Josh Pastner? If they did, I don't really remember, like.
I don't think so. Off the top of my head, I can't. There's not any of it stick out to me either.
I mean, I feel like he was pretty bad at Memphis. I mean, I think they made the tournament 4 years, so I guess that's good. I guess Pastner wasn't as much of a train wreck as I thought. He was there 6 years and made the tournament four of them. Won their conference tournament twice, three times. So, you know, okay, they had that going for them. Only one of the 4 years they made the tournament did they finish up in the top 25. So I'd imagine they won at least a tournament game in 2013 because they finished 19th in the country. So, but, like, you know, that's been a long time, man. Has Penny even made the tournament yet at Memphis?
No.
Mm-mm.
Like, he might have been on path.
They were going to make it in COVID year. Yeah, they were.
Okay.
I don't want to say locked, but I'm pretty sure they would have been in.
Okay.
But no, they've made the NIT twice.
I mean, if you're Memphis, that's not acceptable.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, in the COVID year, I guess they went as high as number 9 in the country. It doesn't say they were ranked in the final poll, though. They finished. They were 21-10. I don't think they would have made it at 21-10 in the AAC.
Fifth in their conference? Yeah, maybe not, actually.
I don't think.
I feel like they were in there. I don't know.
I don't think
they'd have been a bubble team. Actually.
Yeah, I don't think they would have made it, but I guess maybe they would have had a chance in the conference tournament that week to play their way in. So they seems like they were kind of similar to what Tennessee was, where most likely you're out, but you could have maybe won a couple conference tournament games and got in. Yep. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee Live Sports Betting this weekend or tonight if you want. NFL firing off tonight. Got NBA, got conference championships, got a stupid NFL weekend that I won't be watching. But maybe you can. Go take advantage of their TV game wall. 90-foot screen. You can watch all the games. It's perfect for college championship Saturday or an NFL Sunday. Convenient access to betting kiosk. Nice server bringing your drinks around.
Ooh.
Some milkshakes. Kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.